Welcome to the Altered Call Podcast. Today we are going to discuss worship. As Christians, what counts as worship, and where does it go? My name is Alex Pilashevsky. I believe our enemy knows us better than we know ourselves. I believe that truth feels different, and I believe that you are uniquely created to reflect God's glory in the world. Without a culture that encourages the understanding and challenging of beliefs, Christians find themselves in dangerous territory. We assume that because we have accepted the label of Christ follower that we worship exclusively Him. Our devotion is pure, if only because we have accepted the belief that no other gods exist. It's obvious that we aren't perfect. We frequently pursue things to our own detriment, but when we find the time to worship, we worship God. This betrays two false beliefs that are common amongst believers. 1. Worship applies to exclusively religious acts. And 2. There are no other gods fighting for our devotion. While I was a little hard on thoughts and opinions in a previous episode, this is often where beliefs begin. Something draws your attention in, and then the thought or opinion seems to just stick around. We haven't birthed the belief quite yet, but there's an inescapable draw to revisit the idea, creating fertile ground in your mind. Call this stage curiosity or a working hypothesis, but your mind begins to actively search the world for more information regarding the idea. From there, a young belief begins to take shape by converting into a conviction. Having gathered enough information, your mind now expects to see manifestations of your new belief in the world. By converting the idea into an expectation, by saying this is how the world is or how the world ought to be, you have taken the first step in ownership over your new belief. As your belief grows over time, it will eventually require action. Eventually, it will turn into a standard dictating how you interact with the world, a lens dictating how you see and interpret events that you are incapable of fully understanding, or a boundary line defending yourself against those same unknowable forces. The more that the belief is reinforced, the more clearly that is understood, the more power it will have over your life. You will no longer be able to quietly agree with the belief in private. You will no longer allow it to simply be your expectation of the world's inner workings. You will be compelled to help this belief manifest, even at the cost of other things that you hold dear. Somehow, it has become stronger than other beliefs, more powerful, more compelling, more worthy, until one day it will demand a sacrifice. You will not be forced to give. But something in your soul will cry out for it. Something very deep and alive inside of you knows what you must do. A god demands to be fed, or you risk its wrath. You may notice that at no point in the life cycle above did I claim that the belief needed to be true or about God. True beliefs, false beliefs, and everything in between all behave the same. A true belief, faithfully strengthened, brings glory to God, showing the power and majesty with which He created the universe. What about the rest? It seems obvious that false beliefs can't glorify God as they fly in the face of how He designed reality. So what is it that's being glorified? What is it that demands a sacrifice? I sometimes wonder why the Christian church stopped talking about other gods. The Bible doesn't denounce this idea. The first commandment says that you shall have no gods before me, not that no other gods exist. If God wanted to claim exclusivity of existence, He could have easily said that He was the only God. For some reason, He didn't. Other areas of the Bible speak to regional or national gods, yet the modern church often ignores these passages, or at least the gods contained within them. Whether these gods are literal or figurative is something that I very deeply don't care about. But why do we act as if their influence has disappeared? We constantly struggle to prioritize God in our lives. Everything else in our life seems to be more urgent, more demanding, and when we tend to them, the results are more immediate, more predictable than our interactions with God. Why didn't God make pursuit of Him easier or more fulfilling? The good news is that we've cleared an hour on Sunday where we can worship with reckless abandon or at least timid reservation, giving the entirety of our worship to the God that we have chosen. By attempting to falsely gate worship within religious spaces and ignoring the existence of lesser gods, we can be tempted into believing that we serve only one God and that any actions contrary to Him are harmless. What if instead, every action that you take and every driving motivation that you have is an act of worship? You have countless beliefs that drive your life, and the actions that you take towards those beliefs sacrifice of your time, energy, money, focus, or hope. When viewed in totality, what portion of those resources are in proper submission to the God that you claim to worship exclusively? I am not immune to these struggles. In fact, I'm not even convinced that submitting yourself entirely to God is possible. My time and attention are massively fractured and deviant. My body demands dopamine hits and sugar highs much more frequently than it pursues prayer or quiet. But I think that is the point. If faith was easy, if worship flowed effortlessly from our minds and bodies, there would be no victory for us to claim, no glory for us to capture and present as an offering to the one true God. Lesser gods need easy victories, simplistic sacrifices, instant gratification, or no one would worship them. Our God doesn't mind our failures and struggles in pursuit of Him. He isn't threatened by a weaker God claiming a short-term victory. He simply urges us to try again, to set our eyes on Him and rise above the things that He knows will not sustain us over time. Our souls cry out constantly, and we continually give ourselves over to whatever God is willing to give us a temporary boost, a quick fix to get us through the day. Life is hard, so anything that makes our life feel just a little bit easier is generally enough. The problem is that those beliefs aren't true. False beliefs, like the gods that they serve, demand too much. These beliefs must be propped up because the moment that they are rightly exposed, they crumble into dust. After my dad died, it was several years before I was comfortable going to his grave. I knew deep down that he was gone, but standing in front of his headstone was too much. I wanted to believe instead that it was some sick joke, and I needed to deny any evidence to the contrary. I needed to deny reality at any cost because I didn't think that I was capable of handling it, and I didn't yet believe that God was there to guide me through it. The lie needed to be maintained such that my life seemed to be a little bit easier. In order to keep the lie alive, in order to deny the reality of my situation, I chose to harden my heart, to ignore the clearly observable reordering of my world in pursuit of a more comforting false hope. The consequences of this was nearly a decade of hard work reclaiming my heart and nearly two decades attempting to reclaim my mind. I sacrificed far too much in pursuit of a belief that denied God, and it wasn't until He forced His way into my life that I was able to begin my long journey of healing. As I stated earlier, I'm not sure that this is an obstacle that we get to fully overcome. So what are we supposed to do? I would start by creating holy ground in your life. Find an area of your life that is easy to devote to God. Something meaningful, but an area where consistency shouldn't be an issue. Then create a standard. I will not allow this to happen. I will not participate in this type of activity. I will not dwell on these types of thoughts. Choose whatever you personally find meaningful, but draw a line and defend it. Let God know that you are drawing a line and that you refuse to move it until He tells you to. Then expect confrontation. Either something unexpected will happen, forcing you to defend a standard that seemed obvious at the time that it was set but feels uncomfortable now that you are forced to hold it firm. Or expect that nothing will happen such that your mind will attempt to convince you that it is all a waste of time. Maybe you should just give up entirely. Stand strong and rely on God for guidance. If you decide to tear the standard down or loosen it to some degree, that is fine, but don't do it in the face of discomfort or fear. Do it because you have prayed ceaselessly and because God has given you a clear answer. Over the course of my faith, I have felt led to draw four of these hard lines, and each of them has been challenged in meaningful ways. Some I felt led to change, others have held firm. But it was not a casual decision by me in either case. I submitted the decision entirely to God and didn't budge until I was convinced that He was leading me into something new. By fully submitting just one area of your life, you give God a foothold that allows Him to reshape your heart and demonstrate the long-term results of submission to Him. From there, we can start looking at the other areas of your life in more detail. Look at the things that you find most compelling or the things that take up the most of each of your resources. What is the spirit driving those things? Work is generally the biggest time commitment for people, so let's use that as an example. This falls cleanly into non-religious territory, as for most people it doesn't take place in a church building. But is your work bringing glory to God or something else? And how do you know? You can do the exact same job with the exact same lifestyle attached and be serving two entirely different gods, depending on the driving factors behind your work. When you work, you are rewarded with money, recognition, or fulfillment, and you are asked in return to sacrifice of your family, time, and autonomy. Each of those rewards can be a god by itself, and each of those sacrifices can be too much depending on your situation. A healthy view of this situation would be to submit each of those rewards to God. Give him a say over how you hold each one, and sacrifice only what is necessary towards his ends. A trap that many successful men fall into is the idea of saving a pile of money and retiring early. Unfortunately, the spirit that guides you to sacrifice everything in your life for several years in pursuit of money is the same spirit that will tell you at the end of the road that what you've saved is insufficient. If it were only a little bit more, you would be safer. If you only keep going a little bit longer, it would be worth it. Continually moving the goalpost until you collapse. On the other side of the same issue, many people that perceive themselves making too little money simply don't save because they don't perceive it to be enough to matter. They give into hopelessness and despair over and over until their situation manifests in crisis. Instead of these extremes, the God we serve tells us to go slowly, to be content, to be wise, and he offers direction as we go. If he wants to pour blessings of any type into your life, he will. His only ask is that you faithfully steward what you have been given to demonstrate that it won't tempt you away from him. If you seek honestly, you will find that many areas of your life are infested with false beliefs and misbehavior. And unfortunately, that's normal. Instead of worrying about your current status, start rebuilding. Recreate your life in the redemptive image of your Creator so that someday you can demonstrate all of the obstacles that He has enabled you to overcome in your glorious pursuit of Him. The little gods will still have their wins, but slowly our God will reclaim more and more of your life, more and more of the worship that only He is worthy of. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Altered Call Podcast. You can reach me by email using alex@alteredcall.com, or you can visit the website for additional information.